Hearing on House Bill 2163.
You were trying to draw.
And I would like to call the Fire Marshal, Ms. Orr, and Mr. Gardner. But first, would you like to go over what we got going on?
Yes, Mr. Chair, committee members. House Bill 2163 is the fire safe cigarette bill that we heard earlier. You have in front of you, actually, yesterday I submitted to the members a -3 amendment. It's now a -4 amendment. They're identical except for one change in preposition in Section 10 of the bill. You also have in front of you a fiscal impact statement in which the fiscal is $25,200 for testing costs for both the 2007-2009 and the 2009-2011 bienniums.
All right. Ms. Orr and Jim Gardner, you want to come on up here, please?
I'll check.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Schaffler, members of the committee. There have been a couple of awe-inspiring events in my career. One was in 2005 when not a single child died in fires in Oregon. And the other is today when I am so honored to bring to you a bill not only that is a culmination of decades of work by many members of the fire service, but also that is supported by one of the companies that opposed it last session, Philip Morris. I really never thought such a day would come. It's just amazing to me that we can work together to bring something that is the right thing to do to the legislature and know that we're confident it will go forward. You're familiar with what this bill does. As I said, the amendments that you have are those that the Philip Morris lawyers drafted, and we're good with that. We feel that Legislative Council has done a good job ensuring that these regulations are in conformance with state law and Constitution, and I ask your support and a due pass recommendation for House Bill 2163.
Thank you. Mr. Gardner, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm happy to appear today in support of the. My name is Jim Gardner, and I'm here today representing Philip Morris, and I'm happy to state our support for the -4 amendments. As I mentioned during my last appearance before this committee, we have spent countless hours, the Fire Marshal staff, particularly Terry Glocar and myself and our team, working through a series of very challenging technical issues and have come to consensus on the -4s. I want to say just a couple of things. It is the policy and remains the policy of this company to eventually achieve enactment of a federal law that will create a uniform federal standard. But the company has concluded that in the meantime, on the road to that goal, it is good public policy to work closely with state fire marshal's offices around the country to achieve state legislation that is uniform and consistent. And this bill is, in fact, uniform and consistent with the standards that are in effect in New York, California, and a growing number of other states. We did, in order to accommodate the special Oregon constitutional doctrine against precluding delegation of legislative authority to entities outside of the legislature, we did need to make some adjustments. They do not detract from the uniformity of the bill, but they simply reflect, in Legislative Council's view, the nature of that Oregon constitutional doctrine. In addition, the company asked me to specifically note, and I've noted this with the fire marshals folks, that under section 8.1 of the bill and the effective date provision in section 11.8, until January 1, 2008, there will not be a requirement for a single type of marking. That's the designation that goes on the packaging, and that's simply to accommodate the phase-in of the transition of markings that are going on in New York and other states. It's a technical provision, but it was important, I thought, to clarify that for the record. Finally, I would just like to conclude by saying what an honor it was for me, what a strenuous honor to engage in this cooperative effort with the state fire marshal. It does, as I think Nancy mentioned, it does represent a demonstration, in effect, that even seemingly difficult bridges can be bridged. Difficult divides can be bridged. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I want to thank you all, too, the fire marshal. I know you've worked at this for a long time, and I hope it saves a lot of lives and a lot of timber. And I'm confident it's going to. But and I really want to commend the industry. I really do. I think it's an example for industries, all kinds of industries, for looking ahead rather than just digging in and saying, no, 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 everything's perfect, and then you get a tectonic shift and nobody's happy. So I really want to commend both of you. And Legislative Council, and Mr. Whalen, and a long list of other folks that have been involved in doing this, and I really appreciate it. And I was just going to ask, members, do you have any comments or questions for these nice folks today? All right, then. Well, thank you very much. This is a public hearing. Does anyone else would anyone else like to testify to this bill today? All right, then I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2163, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2163. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I move the -4 amendments to House Bill 2163.
All right. Representative Holby moves the -4 amendments to 2163. Now, is there any discussion on this? This was just a one-word change.
Yes.
From two to by. From the -3s.
It's in committee members, it's in section 10 of the bill if you want to actually look at where it's at. It's
all right. So there are no questions. All right, then. Well, those of the opinion that -4 amendment should be adopted to the vote will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Kristen, you need to call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. The motion carries. I'll entertain a motion for the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2163 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Holy, are we finished?
And including the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Very good. Representative Holby moves House Bill 2163 to the floor as amended with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion?
Representative?
Just to say, Mr. Chair, that it's nice to see people come together to good purpose to get something constructive done, and it was nice to see the Fire Marshal and Mr. Gardner come up here and all the effort that they went in that went into this on a lot of people's part. Mm-hmm. I'm appreciative.
Thank you. Representative Smith, please.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to say it was great to be on this committee to put this important bill through.
All right. I agree completely. Thank you. Anybody else? Representative Rosemont.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also just want to applaud your leadership on this, too, because I think that this bill has been waiting a while, and clearly you indicated that your intent to have a bill, and I think that helped the parties see the middle ground. And
Thank you, Representative, and I've tried to make a lot of people see the middle ground on a lot of issues in this bill. And I'm going to keep trying. All righty, then. Well, if there's no further discussion, then, Kristen, just call the roll, please.
Aye.
Representative
Berger.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Esquivel.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Holby. Aye.
Representative
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Chair
Shoffler. Aye. Okay, well, the motion carries. And this is a pretty important bill. Representative Rosenbaum, would you like to carry the bill on the floor?
And
I would certainly be happy to. I think there probably are a number of people who would also be excited to carry this bill or co-carry the bill. So,
Representative Smith, would you carry that bill?
I'd be honored to.
That'd be great. And we're all
help me.
I'll do all I can. Many hands make for easy labor.
Yeah.
All righty then. No, thank you very much. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2163. You've already done that?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Yep.
I'll make sure
close it again.
Close it again.
You know, you guys will do it.
I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2074.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2074 was pre-session filed on behalf of the Landscape Contractors Board. You first heard this bill at the January 17th hearing. It requires a landscaping business license applicant to have at least one owner licensed as a landscape contractor or have a managing owner complete courses and pass an examination as required by the Contractors Board. It applies to applicants whose initial landscape business license is issued on or after January 1st, 2009. It also requires the board to establish rules regarding to the required courses and examination. It also, there's a provision also that requires that a landscaping business that has no licensed contractors as owners and was initially licensed on or after January 1st, 2008, but before January 1st, 2009, to provide proof that a managing owner has completed the course and examination requirements.
All righty then. No one signed up to testify. Would anyone like to testify to this bill? Everybody have their phone off and out there today? All right. Committee, are there any questions or concerns? Representative Edwards.
I have some questions, and I don't know if there's anybody here that can clarify what this bill does exactly for me, but my concern is that, and I'll use a specific example of a large landscaping company in Eugene. And they got into the landscaping business because they previously sold bark mulch, grass seed, ground coverings of various sorts, and then they purchased the largest landscaping business in Eugene and had a big merger. And my question, and I'm looking for clarification, would this require the sole owner of that business, of this multi-million dollar business in Eugene, to actually know rise over run, slope, all these very specific landscape requirements, or is this a business license?
I'm with the landscape board.
Come on up, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we want. Just identify yourself. You know the drill. And
okay. I'm Kim Gladwell-Rowley. I'm with the Landscape Contractors Board. I'm the program manager. Representative Edwards, Chair Schaffler, this does not require a business owner to know all those different landscaping things. It's just a business license, contracting, business law, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Any further questions, Director?
Follow up, please. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, would this be this license that we're talking about? Then would be the landscaper's equivalent of the CCB license? Is that a fair kind of assessment?
Chair Schaffler, it is. It would be a similar test and course as what the CCB requires now, and there's also requires the business type of test.
Go ahead, Representative.
So then maybe now that I'm clear on that, because I'm not sure I was clear on that before, could you speak maybe to why this is an issue that needs to be addressed?
Well, Representative Edwards, Chair Schaffler, there are businesses out there that are owned by people who've not taken that test. And some of the other laws that are within that test would also be some of our laws, like you need to employ an individual landscape contractor within your business and what their job duties should be. You need to have a contract. It has to be written, and there are certain things that have to be in that contract. So as an owner of a landscaping business, there are definitely some landscape laws you need to know in order to have a successful business.
Okay. Just so I can clarify, too, I can go out and buy a plumbing and heating business, own the business and not be a journeyman plumber, but I have to have journeyman plumbers and HVAC people doing the work on the job site. Is that a good analogy, kind of, sort of?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Yes, wait a second, Sal. I think Representative Esberger, I think you had it handled.
You are getting... Mr. Chair, if you'll indulge me, you're getting sort of at my issue here, is that the comparison between CCB and plumbers contracting and landscape is the purpose here to make sure that everyone's on the same knowledge platform when they go into this business, or is the purpose in some way to put up a roadblock in some way for some folks?
Well, Representative Berger, Chair Schaffler, it's not a roadblock at all. It's about knowing the laws so that they can be successful in their business. If they don't realize they have to have a written contract and the things that have to go in that contract is no good. And if they end up in a court of law, that contract's just taken out.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'm a little discomforted by that argument. It is not the state's business for a contractor to know the law, or a business owner. I mean, it is that they. I guess I'm a little uncomfortable with that rationale.
Well, I'm a licensed contractor, and I had to take certain tests to prove that I'd read all the material. It never did ask me if I knew how to read a tape, square, plumb bob, or level, oddly enough, but it made sure I knew contract law and there was safety. It was years ago. I can't remember. There were four sections. And that's...
It's the success of the business that the state is not invested in. I mean, knowledge of... our job, I see it, is to protect the public.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they're successful or not, except in as much as they, you know, the public gets... nefarious business, I guess I'm just a little uncomfortable with, for them to be successful is not, I guess, the state's business. It's
true.
Their success is based on their success, and I'm so I have a feeling Mr. Cross is going to speak to this, Mr.
Yeah.
Chair, and I'm anxious to hear what he has
he
to
will.
Say.
He will. Before we get going on that, they didn't ask me. The CCB isn't interested if I'm successful or not. They want to make sure that I have a contract with every customer I do business with, that contract meets all the needs and requirements of a contract here in the state of Oregon with my customer. And in the end, it's up to me whether or not I make that customer happy or not. And, folks, we don't have to do anything today. I'm not in a hurry on this if people don't feel comfortable. But, Bill Cross, please.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Bill Cross. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Landscape Contractors Association. And, Mr. Chair, to Representative Berger's question, and I think you've answered it, the success that I think the Kim was referring to is the ability to understand the laws and specifically things like when you enter into a contract with a homeowner or a building owner to perform landscaping projects, that contract has to include certain elements. And so you need to be aware of those as the business, as well as other consumer protection requirements and disclosures. And I think the LCB isn't, from a business success, that's not their role, and I think that may have just been, but in terms of successful compliance with the requirements the contractors need to meet from a consumer protection and licensing, that's what the test is aimed at, and that's really, they're very comparable to what CCB requires of its contractors.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate your indulgence in me pursuing this a little bit. I have heard specifically from one constituent who objected to this bill, and so that's really what leads to this line of questioning. Their sense was that this was some sort of a way to get more fees for their extracted, and so I appreciate this discussion and this comparison because it helps me to understand what we're really trying to do here.
Mm-hmm. All right, Representative Esquibel.
Yes, and I as well as some of my colleagues here are struggling with this, and it's the word manage, I guess, that really I'm hung up on. If I purchased a landscaping business
and I had people that were contractors that were licensed, and they could handle that business. My question is, why do I need to have a license? And two, do you consider managing, if I look at the financials, and direct the business financially? What is managing?
Mr. Chair, Representative Esquivel, I think the thrust of requiring the owner, and I really don't know the definition of managing, maybe Kim has that, but I know the thrust of requiring the owner to understand the contractual requirements, the business requirements of managing or running a landscaping business is simply to ensure that they're aware of the laws and the requirements. If they are a passive owner and have somebody else that's running the business, that's fine, but we wanted to, I mean, I think the purpose is to ensure that somebody, that I mean, the person who owns the business, who's going to put up and make sure they maintain the bond, make sure they maintain the appropriate level of liability insurance and other requirements for the licensure, that they understand what's required. Whether they need to know, I mean, it doesn't go into them whether they can financially manage the company per se, but at least from a contractual standpoint, they need to be aware of what then their employees, when they make a bid and succeed and get a job, a landscape installation job, that they're using the proper contracts.
Mr. Representative Holden.
Oh, did you have your hand up?
Who was
no,
first?
No, Representative.
I thought I heard somebody say something.
No, I said Mr. Chair.
No,
go ahead. Go ahead, Representative.
Oh, okay. I don't have a bone to pick one way or the other. I just want to pass good legislation. So could you clarify then, or could you maybe give some examples and help connect for me the need between the owner having that license? Because I think somebody in the company needs to have some sort of understanding of that contractual obligation to a customer as a part of consumer protection. What I'm struggling with is whether or not it needs to be the owner or somebody, a supervisor or manager of some level. So do you have any examples, or what's brought this forward? I mean, something you probably weren't sitting around the LCB one day thinking, what could we get past next session? I mean, you know, something must have kind of, you know, some problems that have been coming up, or
Representative Edwards, Chair Schaffler, what we do have out there is we have some landscaping businesses that are owned by individuals that are not also the licensed individual contractor. So they hire their licensed individual contractor. And that individual contractor is hired to supervise the unlicensed employees. They need to be aware of all the jobs. They need to be training the employees and be readily available for those employees.
Yes.
Whereas if it's the owner doesn't have all that, so he's not doing all that. So the owner is hiring this employee and not taking the test on the business law, the contracting, the fact that this individual has to be an employee. They can't be 1099'd. We have a lot of instances where that relationship isn't quite right and the owner isn't aware of the laws. They're out there, they're running a business, and they're not following the laws. So they have not taken a test or even had to read the laws. Does that answer it?
Well,
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Representative Edwards, I think unlike some of the larger contracting businesses, I don't know how much LCB, the board, because this is really their bill, but they've certainly discussed it with the industry. But the concept of a RMI that you've heard in other contracting businesses, the responsible managing individual, they don't have that similar concept from a regulatory perspective with the LCB. And it's not because I don't think they've ever said that's good or bad. I just think it's never been part of the discussion. And only recently identifying this situation where you do have some of the business owners, per se, not professionally licensed as a contractor, and so not being aware of, one, you know, what's required in landscaping, and or two, the business portion or legal portion, I think is what kind of said, okay, well, let's go after the owner of those businesses. Could it as easily be a designated responsible managing in, or, you know, an RMI? Well, that's something that I don't know if they've ever considered that, but that concept, I know, just has not been one that's been on the landscaping side. But I think that's what you're kind of talking about. And I know the industry probably wouldn't feel strongly one way or the other about that. I just don't know if that's something that has been even put on the table.
Representative Holy, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to maybe move this discussion along a little bit with, you know, I think maybe there's some confusion around what's written in the bill as just describing specifically the owner, and in your position in favor, you also propose that there would be not only an owner, but how was it worded? Or having a managing owner complete courses and pass an examination. And I think it referred to somebody else also being able to do that besides one of the owners, or having a managing owner. And I guess the definition of managing owner was something that I saw in some of the writing, but I don't really see it in the bill specifically. But I just want to do follow up. I think it is actually appropriate, and it is because we're dealing with the same thing in the Construction Contractors Board issue too. The owners are financially responsible if something were going, you know, somebody was to make a claim. I assume that there's bonds required, you know, in case a consumer was hurt, and they carry liability insurance probably, and all those other protections. But ultimately, the owner has some financial responsibility in that business if any kind of action or claim were to be made against the company. And I think it is actually appropriate that there is an owner or a managing owner that has the knowledge of how to contract the business, how they write contracts, what their duties are as far as following the laws. And it's strictly for the protection of the consumer that be followed. And, you know, I'm in support of this bill and the intent of the bill. I think the real confusion is whether or not it has to be actually somebody who owns the business to pass that test, or whether it can be an agent of the owner who he designates as a manager of the business. Can they be able to do that or not? I guess that's the question that I hear here. And the bill clearly just says an owner, one owner. And so I guess that's the question for the board. Is it their intent that it has to be an owner, or somebody that has that financial responsibility? And I'm in support of that, because that owner is ultimately financially responsible, and so that owner should really know what his legal responsibilities are. And so I'm in support of that. But I think their question is whether or not that owner could designate it to somebody else and call them a manager, as you described. You don't have a definition of a responsible managing individual in this particular bill, but it's something your board maybe should think about.
Representative Escobar, please.
Yes, and I'm looking at this, you know, you look at it as a contractor, I look at it as a realtor, because there's owners of real estate firms that don't even have a license. They cannot engage in real estate, period, without the benefit of a license. isn't that the same as you hiring a general contractor and or landscape person with that ability? Why would you have to have a license if you aren't actively directing the people to do the work? What you're saying is they need to have this background to do contractual agreements. I think there's some validity to that, except most business people do have that background, or they probably wouldn't be in a position to purchase a business. And most people are very astute business people, and they probably have an attorney that goes over their stuff. They have errors in admissions. They have all kinds of insurance. So I guess what I'm concerned with is we're talking about landscaping. I'm talking about an industry that you make the largest purchase ever in your life, and that's your home or a business or a commercial. And yet you don't have to have a license to own a real estate firm.
So, you know what? I think we're going to... Was there a question, or is that just a comment?
No, I'm just making a comment.
I think there's enough concern on this bill that we need to get a few more yeses up here before we move on. And and I don't know if this was your intent or if you even like this idea, but if it says or a man, like, if I'm a gazillionaire and I go out and buy a landscape business, I don't want to know the landscape law. If I hire some guy to go out and run it, or gal to run it for me, that may be sufficient. Maybe that's the way it already is. Maybe that's what you're trying to change. I'm not sure. But I think we need to work a little more on this on the committee, and I'm going to let Representative Holby ask one more question. Unless Representative Smith has a question, too.
Well, I guess, you know, I'm looking at the summary of the bill, and it does say that or have a managing owner complete courses.
Right.
And so I guess we need to know how do you define managing owner? Is that an owner agent, or is that somebody that the owner has designated to manage the company to pass that test? I mean, I think that's the confusion here. Does it have to be the guy that's really holding the investment in the company, or could it be an agent of that person that is managing the company that can actually pass that test? I mean, I think that's the confusion that I'm seeing here, and I'm not sure how to interpret the language in the bill to come up with that decision.
Well, Representative Colby, Chair Schaffler, I think the intent was an owner, but I would have to check into
right.
that.
Okay. Now here, unless there's any more questions that have to be asked right now, let's do a bunch more groundwork, talk a lot more to these committee members up here. I want a lot more yeses than I have right now, and I want them hard yeses. Otherwise, I just don't want to send something out that's going to just not do what we want it to do, intended to do, and then happen. So that's what I'm asking you all to do. And I'm going to close the hearing on House Bill 2074. And I hope everyone's okay with that. I just think there's enough concern up here to where we want to be moving more cautiously. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2075. And let me see. This one, I think, might be a little.
I can explain.
Go ahead.
Yes. Committee members, House Bill 2075 corrects terminology in ORS 671555, which deals with the investigation of a person engaged in a landscaping business. If the term landscape contractor is currently written in statute is incorrectly used because a landscape contractor is an individual by definition who carries out the work. However, a landscape business is defined as the entity which submits bids for contract work. And so the measure aligns the statutes. And it also authorizes the administrator of the Landscape Contractors Board to appoint advisory and technical committees to assist the board in carrying out its necessary functions.
Great. Does anybody want to testify to this bill today? Are there any questions about this bill? We have a board representative here. I think this one's a little more straightforward. Wait for Representative Holby to get here. Any questions on this?
I must look like I have questions. I'm just tired.
I'm tired.
I'm just curious.
Everybody okay on this one?
Are we in a work session?
Not yet.
We're in a public hearing. Huh?
You're just asking. I'm a yes.
I'm
Mr. Chair, it must be a burning desire someplace.
Yeah, are we in a work session?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, if there's no comments or no questions and no testimony, I'm going to close the hearing on House Bill 2075, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2075. Your discussion. All right, I'll entertain a motion. Unless there's...
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2075 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Representative Holvey moves House Bill 2075 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, Kristen, would you please call the roll, please?
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Eisenbaum.
Aye.
Vice Chair Holby.
Aye.
Representative
Smith.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Chair Shockley. Aye. Well, the motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I would move that to put on the consent calendar.
All right. There's a motion to put it on the consent calendar. Is there any objection to that motion? So moved, then. Thank you there. Thank you very much. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2075 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2117.
Teresa, please enlighten us. Of course, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2117 corrects terminology regarding individuals and businesses performing landscaping services by changing the term landscape contractor to landscape professional and landscape business to landscape contracting business, and aligns the statutes in relating to landscape contractors to reflect the new terminology. There's also a new provisions to be added to a statute regarding reflecting current construction contractors board statutes in regards to the licensure and fees for businesses that are based in the Portland metropolitan area. It's more of a, it's like a streamlining measure.
All right. Any questions, discussion, concerns on this bill? Representative Berger, please. Representative, please, before I get going, is there anyone who would like to testify on this bill today? All right, then. Representative Berger, please.
They may be up here when I get
there. Very good. That's
why my only concern here is that we are making a distinction in here that is a difference, and it may not be understood as a distinction with a difference either in the realm of this business entity and in certainly in the realm of the public. And I wonder if there's any penalties anywhere if you call yourself a landscaping business and then you don't call yourself a landscaping contractor business. And do you understand where I'm going with this? I guess there's some public education inherent in this that somewhere needs to be at least brought forward, and professional education.
Well, and Representative, when they take that license test, they'll learn all about it.
I was going to say that.
Anyway.
I think I say the reason for the test.
I'm somewhat being facetious.
It occurred to me too, Mr. Chair.
Would the board like to come up and shed some light on this for us, please? And thank you for your patience today.
Okay. Once again, I'm Kim Gladwell Rowley with the Landscape Contractors Board, and I need to understand the question a little bit.
Well, I guess in my reading of this statute, it clarifies terminology for us, what a landscaper as opposed to a landscape contractor as opposed to a landscape business. But it doesn't clarify it for either the public or the people who hold these licenses. And I guess my question then is, do the people who hold these licenses understand this distinction, or are they going to be, you know, absent the training that we're talking about, going to be told, oh, you've called yourself a landscaper, a landscaping business in the yellow pages, that's in violation, and we're going to ding you for it, because we're the landscape contractors board and we have that power? Or is the public going to know at some level, well, I'm looking in the yellow pages, this guy says he's a landscaper and this guy says he's a landscape contractor, and what's the difference? We're making a distinction here, we're clarifying a distinction here, but what's the plan for the rest of the world getting to know this, and are there going to be penalties?
Representative Berger, Chair Schaffler, there will be no penalties if a licensed business calls themselves a landscape business versus a landscape contracting business. There just won't be. As far as the public, right now they see a landscape contractor, someone they contract with. And that's wrong right now, because it's the landscaping business that you contract with.
So we're trying to clear that up. There already is that inconsistency there. And as far as letting the public know, we go to trade shows. We have our name. I'm not sure what else we could do. We have newsletters.
Let me ask this question, too. I got a Yellow Page ad. I own a landscape business, and I hire a bunch of licensed, qualified landscape contractors to work for me in my business. Because I've taken the license, and I got my business license. I've taken the test that we were just discussing. I advertise in the Yellow Pages. May I say I'm not technically a landscape contractor. I just own a landscape business. So I can't say landscape contractor in the Yellow Pages then. Or can I?
Well, Chair Schaffler, you can if you have a landscape contracting business. You can advertise under landscape contractors, under landscape contracting. All Yellow Pages have different headings, we're finding. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a licensed landscape contractor. I'm hiring those folks that do the on-ground work. I just own the business. You see, so I can still say I'm a licensed landscape contracting business.
Yes, you can, as a business.
Very good. I think I got it squared away. I don't know if that helps anybody or not. But if you're not a general, you can be a roofing contractor and not a general contractor in the construction world. So you can't put general contractor on if you're not a specialized roofing contractor. If you're just got a specialized license in the roofing contracting business, it's kind of confusing, to be quite frank with you. And I am concerned about the average Joe and Joanne. And I don't think that's what we're trying to clarify here. We're just trying to clarify the law, correct, rather than for everybody else out there.
That's correct.
That's what I thought. Representative Berger.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I'd feel a little better if what I heard right now is that upon passage of this, there would be some effort by the Landscape Contractors Board to notify your members of this distinction in the law and where they fit into that category, because they need to know where they are and what names they can use in the Yellow Pages legally according to their, you know, who they are, what they are as a business entity, and so I guess that's what I'm looking for.
And I believe, Representative, they do that.
Representative Berger, Chair Schaffler, we do. We have a newsletter we publish. We send it to all our licensees, and we even send it to the owners of businesses that are not licensed to make sure that they have that information, too.
I think that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
All right. Any more questions? Very good. Well, thank you very much. Are there any more discussion, comments, or concerns about this bill at this moment? I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2117, and I'm going to stick my neck out here and open up a work session on House Bill 2117. Is there any discussion or concerns on this legislation today?
Mr. Chair, were you declaring a potential conflict of interest?
No,
when you said you owned a landscape?
I'm a general contractor. I'm not a. I had a lawn maintenance business for 5 years, but that was different. I will entertain a motion for this bill if there's anyone out there.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2117 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Holvey has moved House Bill 2117 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? All right, seeing none, Kristen, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Edwards.
Aye.
Representative Berger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Vice Chair Holvey.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Chair Schaffler.
Aye. The motion carries. What do we think about this, folks? Think someone should carry this on? Should the chair carry this on the floor? Then I will entertain a motion for the consent calendar. All right, Representative Smith moves that this House Bill 2117 be placed on the consent calendar. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Very good. So moved. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2117. Anything for the good of the order?
Mr. Chair, we have committee bill in trust.
Oh, that's right. A whole stack. Yeah. Thank you, folks. All righty then. Let's see. Representative Hovey.
Mr. Chair, I move LC draft numbers 1514, LC draft number 2260, draft number 2264, draft number 2470, and draft number 3189 to be introduced as committee bills.
Very good. Representative Hovey moves LC draft numbers 1514, LC 2260, LC 2264, LC 2470, and LC 3189 to be introduced as committee bills. Is there any discussion? And once again, I want to remind everyone, this does not commit anyone to a position or a vote on this. We're just creating a bill here. Any? Very good. Kristen, would you... Well, those are the opinion that LC draft numbers 1514, 2260, 2264, 2470, and 3189 should be introduced as committee bills. I'm just going to ask, is there any objection to any of this? Well, then, so moved. All righty, then. I'm going to close the work session on all those. And is there anything for the good of the order? I'm going to find out by one of my chief bosses at home. I may be here on Friday, but if I'm not, Representative Esquel is going to run the show for us.
Is there a work session scheduled on Friday?
As of now, that we have three scheduled. There may some of them may have to be pulled off the agenda because of amendments. But as soon as
you let me know, because I'm meeting people in the district on Friday.
And Representative, I think there might be a good chance I may be here. So
okay, and I'm playing a racquetball tournament in Portland Friday afternoon to Friday evening.
Alrighty then. I'm going to close the
okay.
House Committee on Business later. Adjournment.
Yeah, so